Lord, every person in this place belongs to you. You made everyone. Lord, you actually called them by name, Lord, before they were born, while they were still being formed in their mother's womb. Lord, tonight my prayer is come and touch your people. Come and do your work. Lord, and I humble myself before you, Lord, as I pray that your will be done, your kingdom will come, Lord, in the midst of your beautiful people, Lord. Amen. Take a deep breath. Say, tonight we're going somewhere. I'm leaving this place with peace and joy. And maybe a new friend if you came here for the first time. That's a bonus. Now, think about it for 1 second. This always got me. Why are people willing to pay thousands of rands to come to South Africa to look at this mountain, this flat thing? I mean, you just go and stand there for an hour, you might meet 100 foreigners. Why do people make thousands with taking humans out on a little boat, scenic cruise? Have you seen these coffee table books that you see in the houses of those that earn well? If you turn those books around, there's pictures of lions. And I mean, those books sell for sometimes 2,000 rand. It's a multi-million dollar business. Why? Why are people so fascinated with nature? I mean, maybe it's an obvious answer, but think the millions of rands spent into beautiful things. Majestic waterfalls, awesome mountains. People will pay to go and see it. Just say, I was at the falls. To put another spin on it, maybe beauty has got a little subsection. Maybe you find a Ferrari as beautiful as some people would find Table Mountain. That would be fair, right? Maybe if you're a man, you find the opposite sex as beautiful as Table Mountain or a scenic cruise. That's fair, I would say. Maybe a beautiful house. These things, it gets our attention. Am I right? Are we in agreement? Gets mine. Without further ado, let me move on to the next slide. Listen to this lady. Her name is Anne Rand. I've never seen a name spelled like that, so I guess it's Anne. I can almost say Anne the atheist, self-proclaimed atheist, died 20 years ago, a bit more. This is what she said. She said, admiration is one of the greatest and rarest pleasures. Those were her words. There's a reason I've got her on there. We'll come back to her, but for now, just look at that. Admiration is one of the greatest and the rarest pleasures. And I think she's right. If you look at mankind, you'd see at the essence of mankind this hunger and search for beauty. Now, guys, just hang in with me, okay? It sounds like I'm talking at the women's conference here, okay? But just hang on. We're getting to the rough parts. I'm not only meaning beauty to look, but at least to feel as well. I mean, if there can be such a thing as a beautiful feeling, a nice feeling. I mean, that's what God gets us going. You don't sit the whole day in your room. No. You are driven. You get your bum off the chair and you get up the mountain and you look at the view. And you feel amazed. Or you put on a movie. That's another thing. But you do something to admire something. Maybe you admire a movie star. So you can't wait to get to the movies because you admire. You want something to admire. I think it'll be scriptural to say that it's from God. It's from God. A hunger and a thirst to possess beauty. It gets us going. It's why we work. It's why we work hard to earn a living, to make things happen for us. I think it's designed by God. But I think it is designed primarily that our search for beauty might end up at us meeting Christ, the most beautiful of all. And that our extreme thirst for beauty will be quenched right there. and that we will live from that place. But the problem is that the enemy keeps the world extremely busy, keeps us very busy in running after cravings for beauty that is not in Christ. And that is probably the place where we lose our peace. Okay? To use that word again. Now, allow me to use this example. Let's say God is like the glorious Himalaya mountain. We've got a cabin there with an awesome view on this mountain in all its splendor. But often what we do is we allow ourselves to pull down the shutter and take out little photos of mountains. Nice. We're right outside the window. You've got the real deal waiting to be beheld. But you see what I'm trying to say. I'm throwing a few ideas out there, and I'm definitely going to take you somewhere. Don't worry. Another thing. A lot of things just mentioned. Animals, mountains, waterfalls, sunrises. It's all created by Christ. Not so that we might worship that, but that through that maybe we worship Christ. And I think many people come to Christ because of nature, right? Because of realizing how awesome God must have been in putting this whole universe together. Many people will say, I've met one of my clients before I worked for the church. She said, it's lovely what you do, Van. It's lovely what you're going to do with the church. But my husband and I don't believe, they're psychologists, professors. We believe in the brain. We believe in the brain. I'm like, what does that mean? You believe in the brain. If someone is dead, I can take his brain out. You believe in this thing. No, but we have a brain at least to worship God, right? It's for Him. Through Him and for Him. Just another thing. Is there satisfaction? I'm just teasing you a bit here before I take you on a journey. Is there satisfaction in worldly beauty, if I can say that? You'd have to say yes. At least there's some kind of satisfaction at experiencing something awesome, right? I think it gets you going. It gives you something, but it's almost like a kick that disappears again. Now, let me throw a hectic thing in here. Next verse, or the next slide. Read this, please, with me. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Do you realize that there is a time where God will not be found by humankind? There's a time in the timeline of Christ coming back where there's a line that's going to be drawn, and any person on this side of the line that looks for God won't be able to find Him. It won't be possible. The most glorious King of Kings, Lord of Lords, can only be found in the age which we're in now. You know what it says in Revelation? Go read a bit. It speaks about what happens. Judgment comes upon the earth. Massive star falls into the ocean. A third of the fish dies. And other stars fall into the river. Those fish die. Demons come up underground. They kill the people. You know what it says? It says, and those who were not killed did not repent. They did not repent of their sexual immorality or of their idol worship. Can you believe it? Seeing your friend die at the hands of a demon, you still don't repent. It can only happen because the time is past. The time of seeing the most beautiful God of all time is past, because it's now. The time to fix our eyes on Christ is now. Most beautiful thing, if I can call it, not a thing, sorry, it's a God. It's the one and only. Most beautiful God can only be found now. Now, tonight, what I want to do is, I want to look at the beauty of Christ. I'm going to take one piece of scripture, and I'm going to show you three areas of Christ that will take your breath away. and it will invoke in you worship. And if you allow your heart to worship tonight, you will walk out here with peace. That worship might just impart joy into your life. That worship might lead you to repentance tonight, which will also result in you walking out with peace. But again, I ask you, what is your expectation? Go with me, please, to Matthew 28. It'll be on the board. Now, this is the situation. Let's say Christ is a mountain, a massive mountain. And out of this scripture, I'm going to show to three peaks of beauty in Christ. Strap on your seatbelt. Let's go. Let me just read here. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like a dead man. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." We're now at the empty grave. Everyone with me? At the empty grave of Christ. "He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you so." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them. That's now the ladies. And said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I'm just skipping a few verses. "And when they saw him, they worshiped him." That's not all the disciples, but some doubted. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" A mouthful, but we'll break it down into three peaks of Christ's beauty. The first one, okay guys, you'll enjoy this one. The beautiful power of Jesus. Matthew 28 verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me.'" I wish that I've got a way to illustrate and show by means of stats or something that Jesus has got more authority than President Barack Obama. I wish I can show it. I wish I can see it myself. I think if we have to put on a scale, on the one side Jesus and his authority, on the other side, just let your thoughts go, imagination is needed here, all the armies of the whole world and their technology, every president of the whole world, every king, you put all the authorities, even though that's been placed there by God on the one side, they will go up like air compared to Christ. There's no comparison. All authority belongs to him. You know what that means? It means that Christ has authority over my thoughts. He determines what I should think, what I should feel, what I should do. That's how it's supposed to be. Every single human being should be under the hand of Christ, submitted willingly. That is his authority. His authority, all authority in all the earth, means that for me, practically, my marriage is to his rule. My business is for his rule. Your son is his, if you've got a son. Your leave is his. Your weekends is his. My holidays belongs to him. There's no escape clause. All belongs to Christ. Everything I can do or think or believe or am or obtain in this world with the work of my hand is his. The other implication is, if I should fail to bow my knee to Christ within the context that all authority is his, and I fail to bow my knee, it means that I commit high treason to the king. Because I'm saying I'm not bowing my knee to you. You know what? At the end of the day, you know what? Let me just, I've been loving Revelations the last 2 weeks I've been reading through. The earth and this beauty, do you know what's going to happen to this earth? This one? You know what's going to happen? God's going to come and He's going to roll up the skies like a scroll. Gone. The Bible says the mountains will flee for safety. You will not find them where they're supposed to be. There'll be nothing left on this earth. On the last day, when Christ comes, okay, it's a happy day. It's a happy day for us. It's also tears. His judgment will be so sound, so beautiful, that those that have lived a life of indifference, those that have never followed Him, that they won't have one objection, because they'll see immediately, on my head, no words. Because His judgments are so true. All authority is in Him, and it's so right. But how little do we see? Why am I talking about power? Why am I talking about power? How's power beautiful? I'll tell you how it's beautiful. If there was a God in the world with more power than Christ, we would serve Him. Agree? Agree? Why? You cannot serve a God that's going to lose, because then you're going to lose. Praise God. He is all powerful. All power belongs to Him. We are safe with Him. That is beautiful to us. We worship power, people, without thinking about it. But you know what? Our God is all powerful. We're nothing compared to Him. The governments, the armies. Man, beautiful God. Beautiful God. Our God is all powerful. Can I ask you a question in your mind? If I say the word angel, angel, what do you see? What is your picture of an angel? So there's some funny things that will come out. I won't lie. Some people will see a fat little baby with feathery wings. No jokes. Have you been into some people's houses? Little angels against the wall. Now, if that's what I saw since I was a little boy, then that's my perception of an angel. Right? Some people will see a man with long white hair with a glitter over his face. Maybe a harp. All right? Now listen to me carefully. If so, if that is our view of an angel, it will not impress you that Jesus Christ has got authority over every angel. Authority over little babies. No, it won't impress you. It won't impress you to know that the whole heaven will listen to a command without a question. They'll move. If He says right, they'll go right. If He says left, they'll go left. But if you think an angel is a little thingy, let me show you what an angel is. Matthew 28 verse 3. You can go back there if you want. Fred, you can just page back up to verse 3. Now this is an angel. His appearance was as white, was like lightning, and His clothing white as snow. And for fear of Him, the gods trembled and became like dead men. That's not a little baby, people. Now, Revelations 18, it's not on there. Listen to this. I'll read it two times. Verse 1. After this, I saw another angel, not Jesus, not God, coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with His glory. After this, I saw another angel coming from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with His glory. Now, if you can get, I still can't get an accurate perception of an angel because I can't see them. Some people can, I believe. I can't. If you can fathom that being, right, more or less from the scripture, and add to that how many angels there is, and add to them that all of them are ready to obey Christ now with unquestioned obedience. Boom, just like that. That shows us a glimpse of the authority of Christ. Let me tell you what. This world, America can combine their best weapons with those of North or South Korea, plus those of China and Japan, all the atom bombs they can find, and everything will have no effect when Christ comes on the clouds. It'll disappear, if anything. It'll fall. This world's glory is nothing. This leads me to worship. Because I look out of the window, I see Jesus, I say, whoa, powerful. It breaks my mind. But I'll just worship you. Lord, you're powerful. Isn't that true? His power is beautiful because it's His power that protects us day by day. It's His power. You know, some people will say, why did those people die in the earthquake? You must thank God that you were not in that earthquake. That's what our response should be. He is all powerful to keep His children. Some of us will die and go to heaven, better place. All power belongs to Him. Amen? Let me just... paint another picture for you. You know what's going to happen? Some of you would have seen my little Facebook post. I couldn't help myself. You know the word Armageddon? It's not a movie. It doesn't come from a movie. Right? It comes from the Bible. Armageddon actually means a mountain. But a flat mountain. Right? Like, I don't know how big. But Armageddon is the venue for the final showdown of all the ages. Christ against Satan. And you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to get there kicked. Right? Because Christ is going to come on a stallion, a white one. And all the angels are going to come with Him. And if He just goes to the left, they all go. And they're going to for once and for all finish all this junk that we've been stuck with all our lives. Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him. Amen. A joyful day, but also a day for tears, unfortunately, for those who've never accepted Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we're proclaiming the gospel. Amen. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have friends. We invite them. We have a heart. Peak number two. That was His power. Worship Him for His power. It is beautiful. Number two. Matthew 28 verse 5. Check this out. But the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. I'm back at that scripture now. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For He has risen, as He said. Come and see the place where He lay. And then go quickly and tell these disciples that He has risen from the dead, and behold, He is going before you to Galilee. There you'll see Him. See, I've told you. So, listen to this. They departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. They are obeying the angel, right? They're doing a good job. Next verse. Very unexpected. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings, ladies. And they came up and took hold of His feet and worshipped Him. Why did Jesus meet them? Why? They were going at a good pace because they were scared of the angel. Okay, so they were making a line for it. So Jesus comes and He says, hi, ladies. And He exactly says the same command to them. He says, go and tell my brothers I'm coming. Why? Think about it. Why would Jesus do that? It's an unnecessary act. Jesus intercepts them while they're doing exactly what they were asked. That is nothing but God loving, merciful kindness. That's all it is. Jesus being kind. Can't wait to chat with these girls again, man. They were the ones that served Him. He couldn't wait until Galilee, so He stopped them and repeated the thing. You are doing a good thing, just go for it. Do the same thing. Go as you were told. Jesus Christ is so kind. When He leads you somewhere, He will affirm it the whole time. You go, you do it. You go for it, you can do it. But Lord, I'm so scared. Don't worry, you can do it. God is kind. You'll ask me, okay, where's God's kindness in my life? What about me? You know what Mary will tell you? She will say, His kindness will meet you 7 steps down the road of obedience. That's where God's kindness is. Just go. And He will meet you on the way and affirm His word to you. Man, isn't our God kind? He's amazing. Another thing. What do you think? Let me ask you another. What was the last thing the disciples did before Jesus died? Okay, you don't have to answer. But I can tell you one thing. They weren't at the cross. They forsook Him. They denied Him. They were scared. Now the Messiah is risen. He's back, ready to take control. Now He is approaching the girls. Now they're thinking, what is this powerful Messiah going to do to those turncoat disciples that left Him at His darkest hour to die? He is going to bring judgment on them, and they were scared. And look at what He says. Don't be afraid. Go and tell, not my disciples, like the angel said, go and tell my brothers. I'm coming. I miss them. I want to be with them. Who of you have denied Christ? Who of you have sinned radically? 2 hands from Netlang. Who of you often feel that you are a letdown to God? Let me tell you what. If Jesus were to meet you now, He would call you brother. My brother, I love you. I care for you. You're washed by my sins. Let us learn something from this. Our God is extremely kind. Not only is His power magnificent, but there's no end to His kindness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that good news, someone, please? Thanks, Nietling, normally would help me with that. He is kind. And lo, I am with you always. Let's go on. Last peak. The beautiful purpose of Jesus. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Christ is infinitely powerful. You cannot measure His kindness, but a man without purpose is nothing. So He puts His purpose right down there. He says, I am here so that the lost can be saved. They can be my disciples. Go and do that. Baptize them. Tell them about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And teach them all these things you know. That is my purpose. In this world, to use just an example that's easier for us, we might look up if the richest man in the world come walk past us. But if he has no purpose, we won't have respect for him. We'll just say, that's a rich guy. But add to even a man on earth a purpose. Give me a man with an unwavering purpose in this world, and I'm sure there will be respect for him. Christ is infinitely powerful, extremely kind, and he has the purpose of purposes. Now, I was looking forward to do this. Ladies, allow me to give you a tip. Now, when I'm finished with giving my tip, you can take it or leave it. But I'll give it nonetheless. Gents, you can listen as well. For the single ladies, I'm not going to say, where are you? If you go for a man with no purpose, you are going down the drain. Mark my words. Stay single. Forever, if you must. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. You know where he'll take you? He'll take you nowhere. He'll take you away from God. You wait for a man that wants to live that purpose, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and you go with him. You are wasting your own time. And this is words for people in this place. Stop wasting your life. And then after you've been hurt, you make a Facebook post. I'm so sad. Okay? You are being played. You go for a man with the character of Christ. It's a man with a purpose. He can be saved, baptized, spirit-filled, and speak in tongues. If he doesn't live the purpose, you don't go with him. It'll take you nowhere. You can ask some of the people here that's married in this church. You can ask people that's divorced. Or you can ask people that's married and sad. That's the worst fall. No, well, probably better than the divorced. So be smart while you're single. It's a gift. Be smart. Go for purpose. Now, take it or leave it. Christ has got a life with unwavering meaning. He's extremely powerful. The whole world is at his foot. If he goes, we'll be dead. Man, I love serving a God like that. I want to stand next to him and say, that's my God. Most powerful God in the world, yet so kind. With such a clear purpose. Amen? Is that reason to worship God? Can the mountains compare to him? Can the little scenic boat cruise compare to him? I'm sure if I look at a mountain now, it inspires worship. I love it. It cannot take Christ's place in my life. He aims to fill his kingdom with worship. Do you know? Can I ask a bold question? Is it okay, everyone? Not a lot of new faces, but who can honestly, who's not shy to say in the last 2 years, I've given my heart to God? Don't be shy. Yeah, the last 2 years. Good stuff. The other night, eh? Love it. Do you know, I'm going to use Matthew as an example. Matthew gave his heart to the Lord the other night. Okay, God touched him. Do you know what that means? It means Jesus is with us. If you do that, go therefore, make disciples, nations, baptize them, and I am with you always. Whenever someone bow their knee because of your testimony, your invitation, your life, it means that Christ is with us. He is working in our midst. Thank you, Matthew, that I can use you. Christ is here. Amazing. The all-powerful God. Now, let's just be honest. Some people will never be fulfilled in this world because they will never meet Christ. Extremely sad because they'll never bow their knee. It's just a fact. But my prayer is that all of us will bow our knee to Christ. And it's like we go from this place of being almost fulfilled when we're without Christ. Yes, okay, if I can get married, I'll be there. So we put our hope in that, okay? So we aim for it and we get there and we, okay, it feels good, but I'm still almost fulfilled if we can, and the cycle starts. It's called the almost cycle. I almost win. You know, that is just losing. I almost tackled him. Oops, try. I almost. Let's stop being almost people. You know, it stops when there's a big cross in our lives. And we start to worship God. Then I'm not almost anymore. I'm almost happy. How are you doing? Yeah. Next week, how are you doing? Yeah. No. It stops with Christ. You're not an almost person there. Almost happy. Almost fulfilled. No, you are complete in Him. If you've got Christ and you open your eyes, you'll see you've got everything. There's nothing to add to that. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Complete contentment. You know, when we play this empty game, even as believers, and we start running after nonsense and distracted, you know that all of hell laughs at us, thinking we are the biggest fools? You know, we run around little circles like this. Oh, someone offends me. Now I'm going to phone Tiens. And waste 2 hours of his life. And the officer's coffee. Ooh, someone offends me again. Now I'm going to phone Werner. And waste an hour of my time. You know what? Someone, I'm joking, but there's truth in it. Someone with a purpose. Okay? When you get offended, you move on, you forgive, you go. If you're going somewhere, you don't stop for nonsense. You go. Yeah, but we must talk more Afrikaans. Just go. God's kingdom is happening here. We talk Afrikaans and Garis. Okay? 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 If you've got a purpose, and your purpose is the lost, you don't get distracted by stupid boys sending you SMSs. You tell them, get off my phone. I've got a purpose in life. You're distracting me. And you go. Amen, girls? Boys? Men? You know what? If Jesus gives us a purpose, we can go. We are unstoppable. But the moment we start running circles, oh, the enemy laughs at us and he thinks, bunch of short-sighted fools. I want that purpose of Christ. I want to run for it. Yeah, we bump heads. But we go and forgive. Amen? That's what I love about this place. We can sort things out and we can speak honest. There is a massive calling on this church and other churches in the city. Let's keep our purpose in mind. Let me go to my last slide. Thank you, Fred. Let's go back to this tunny. Admiration is one of the greatest and the rarest pleasures. You know what? If you're an atheist, that is true. If you're an atheist and you have not seen glorious, beautiful Jesus Christ, admiration is rare. You're stuck with the mountains. You're stuck with the sea. Maybe you see an animal. It's rare. But if you meet Christ and you know that you've got access to meet with Him every day, every morning when you wake up, He is ready to have a conversation with you, to open His heart to you, to have fellowship. How can admiration be rare? Amen? Does it make sense? Now, I said, I want the end result of tonight that we all live with peace. I want to make it clear. I want to help us. Maybe you don't have peace because you're running after the wrong prize. Now, a lot of these beautiful things in life, it is from Christ for us, but we have to seek Him. We have to submit our life to Jesus and allow Him to come and work in us a great work. Isn't that true? Maybe you've never met Christ. You're at the right place. Without Christ, we go in circles. We go in circles from one empty place to another, and that almost thing is always with us. But I'm also speaking to the believers. Let us not walk away from an awesome prize. Let us not walk away from the one that gives us life and then forget how He looks like. Let us not forget to seek His face, to pray in tongues. We've got the gift to close our eyes and worship Him and look unto Him. That is how we get peace. You know, if you stand up in this place tonight, band, you can softly come up. If you stand up in this place and you close your eyes and you say, Lord, I want to worship You, and there's something that you must repent of, do you know that that thing will pop in your head immediately? That's how faithful and true Christ is. Because He wants you to be free. So if you stand up and say, God, I want to worship You, that thing which is holding you back will pop up like a screen. And then you deal with it. You say, Lord, this thing happened the last 2 weeks and I give it to You now. You will walk out of here with peace. Guaranteed. That's what the Bible says. If you feel empty, stand up tonight, close your eyes, say, Jesus, I feel empty. Why am I not experiencing You as filling my cup? And He will tell you immediately. He is faithful and just. Amen? Our God is the most powerful God in the whole world, but He's kind. So when we talk, He listens, He extends His ears to us. But His power again answers our prayers. It works together. And then He's putting us all together under His purpose, so that we do not go as a church in circles, but we go. Man, we serve a beautiful God. Amen? Please stand up. Just remain silent as you just close your eyes and think on Christ.